Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
All right, while you're giving, let me tell you a little bit about our guest speaker today. Pastor Andy Elms and I spoke in a conference together at Pastor Julian Melfi's in London, almost 20 years ago. And I sat on the front row. I'd never heard of him, didn't know anything about him. And I sat on the front row in the middle where y'all are sitting right there, and I heard him preach. And I said, I need this guy to come to Now Church in Ocala. And when I did that, afterward, we met each other at a dinner or whatever. I said, please come to, you know, come be with us in Ocala sometime. He said, well, I'm in America sometime. I said, well, contact me. Well, then, you know, people just think you're talking. And so we lost contact. We didn't see each other. About maybe 8 months ago, his little picture popped up on my Facebook. You should add this guy as a friend or something like that. And I thought, oh, yeah, I remember that guy. I said, he really had the goods. So a friend requested him. He answered back, as one does. And then I happened to see in following what he was doing, I saw he was in Florida like a couple of times. So I reached out to him and said, I don't know if you remember me, but when you're in Florida, you know, I really still want you to come. That wasn't just me talking. Here's his story. He's got five children, okay, ranging from 28 to 17. His wife, he married a New York Italian, okay? So he married a New York Italian. They have five kids, as one does if you're a New York Italian. And three of the five kids live in the U.S. Two of them live in Florida. One, the son and daughter-in-law live in Jacksonville, and the daughter and son-in-law live in Inverness. I said, if you're going from Jacksonville to Inverness, you got to be coming right through Ocala. So he's visiting the family today or this week, and his son is going to be here second service. It's his 25th birthday today. And so we're just delighted to have Pastor Andy Elms, the founder of a great church in Portsmouth, England, and now many churches. He oversees a great movement in Europe. I'd like you to get up on your feet and give a great Now Church welcome to Pastor Andy Elms, Dr. Andy Elms, if you will.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, praise God. You can be seated. It's great to be back in the colonies. Yeah, that always gets a reaction. I'm not quite sure why. And greetings from, I'm used to saying our queen, but now it's our king. And just a joy to be with you guys. It was a pleasure. Yeah, reconnection was a joy last night. And me and your pastor went out and we did something very spiritual. We ate. And as we sat and ate, it was just, it was amazing. There was so much sameness in our hearts. And that man and his wife love you very much. They really do, and you know that, right? And I just want to encourage you. I get around, I get out a bit, and just to see the heart that your pastors have for you is absolutely amazing. And it's a joy. Yes, give them a big round of applause. It's a joy to be with you today. And just to bring a word that's in season, I believe, with the journey that your pastors and your leadership team are leading you through. And big thank you to Pastor Chris this morning, who picked me up from the hotel. As normal, there was about 5,000 young people screaming my name, and we had to get through that crowd. And, you know, but Chris was very, very good. There was one old lady eating a sandwich. That's what there was. If you don't, please, that be under any false illusions of that moment. But he got me here safe. And we had motorcyclists, gangs coming past us. But he got me here safe. And it was amazing because there was a motorcycle gang overtook us, and their name on the back of a jacket was Defenders. And then as we were singing that song today, Defender, I felt God say, for someone here this morning, you need to know he's your defender. You're in a situation and it feels like everything's coming against you. I believe God wants to underline for you today. You came here just for this message. He's your defender. He's your defender. God's speaking to someone and he's saying, I've got your back. As a man that's going through some things in business, God is your defender. There's a lady that's going through something relational. God is your defender this morning, all right? And I just really felt that he wanted me just to speak that out, all right? You have a defender. You're not vulnerable. You're not helpless. It may feel like that, but you've got the King of Kings standing by your side, amen? So, brilliant. Yes, so the Lord bless you. Greetings from the United Kingdom. And like Pastor said so well, my wife is an Italian. Dad was a baseball player. She's originally from Sicily, so I have to behave myself when I'm with her. But when I'm not with her, I can just get crazy. So it's good to be with you today. Brilliant. We oversee some churches there. I also oversee a movement called Soul Winner. And the whole passion of Soul Winner is to mobilize the church to win in souls. And I want to tap into that this morning and encourage your hearts, if that's okay. You ready to be encouraged? Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your incredible presence. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you've been doing even before this moment. And we just open our hearts to your word and to your challenge. And we thank you on this special Sunday, God, that you would do something in our hearts that makes a difference in the lives of others. Amen. This is a significant Sunday for you, isn't it, eh? Number of things happening at once. It's Pentecost Sunday, everybody expecting. Now, I'm one of these people that's a little bit less romantic with days, to tell you the truth. To me, I live in the good of what's happened every day. So when we come through Easter, I love Easter. Easter's an amazing time in our life. But you see, Christians sometimes get so romantic about, it's Easter, it's Easter. It's Easter for me every day. I'm living in the good of the cross and the resurrection every day. And when we come to Pentecost, it's good to mark a moment and say, we remember when the Holy Spirit came, but we also celebrate we're still living in the good, amen, of what he did. And so today's a big day. You've got Pentecost Sunday, you've got baptisms, and the nice thing in Florida is if you've come not prepared and God speaks to your heart, you'll be dry in about 15 minutes. England, it'll take you 2 weeks to dry out. So if God touches your heart, get yourself into that pool of obedience, amen. But also that you're starting this new series, and I was excited when Pastor was talking to me about it. And in this series, it's all about gazing beyond or gazing out of a window, thinking beyond ourselves. And I really believe that's the essence of Christianity, that we're not self-absorbed. We're not locked within the boundaries of our own existence. But we're looking and saying, hey, this is how God reached me. How can I reach others now? And I believe that actually fits well with the message of Pentecost. Because Pentecost wasn't selfishness. The church made it selfish. Pentecost had a plan attached to it that would benefit others. And we're going to look at that a little bit today. I love it when we look at the day of Pentecost and we flash back to that moment in the upper room. We all need upper room moments, right? I thank God for upper room moments. I thank God, not just for my initial one, but regularly having those moments where Holy Spirit touches you afresh. Now, do you know that your countdown clock isn't running right now? Because I don't care, because I can go all day. I just want to make sure that you know, because I lose time and space, all right? So just checking on that. Now, the initial upper room moment is when the fire fell and the church was born. The fire of God fell and the church was born. The church, let's never forget, was born in fire. And the church came out with a prayer meeting, out of a prayer meeting. And is it funny that it's so hard to get the church to pray these days, yet the church was born in a prayer meeting. You know, so often it's like if you do a personal prophecy day, everybody queues up for weeks. But you say, we're going to pray. It's like, add the word prayer and you can guarantee keep some people away. But the church was born in prayer and she was born in fire. But when the Holy Spirit came that day, the believers received what the Father had promised, the coming of the Holy Spirit. But he wasn't just sent for experience, but for purpose. God always has purpose in mind. You know, as it was rightfully said by great author, he's a purpose-driven God. But whenever God does something, there's always a now purpose, but also a purpose that remains and continues. What's God's purpose for Pentecost? I believe it was multiplication, because God's a God of multiplication. At the moment, I believe that's what he's speaking over the Western church. Multiply, multiply, multiply. When we came into this year, that's the only word I could hear from heaven. Multiply. Stop thinking of mere addition. It's time to multiply. And obviously, the perfect picture of multiplication is that church in Acts where they grew by 3,000. That's a good picture of multiplication. Listen, God wants a big family. And he wants us to go and find the lost children and bring them home to be a part of his family. Every child belongs to God, but they become his when they walk through the doorway of the cross. Amen. So I want to revisit this moment, this Pentecost moment today, to bring out a thought that's a little bit different to what you're thinking I'm going to speak on when I talk about Pentecost. Now, reading from Acts 2, verse 1, it says, "Now when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire sat upon the head of each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." I love imagining that moment. I don't see little like birthday cake candle flames. I don't see that. When I think of Pentecost, I don't think, happy birthday to you. And everybody with this nice little, I see roaring fire falling from heaven, coming in a cloud of glory, then breaking out individually on every life there. Now, to me, the only problem I think that Pentecostals have today is they stop reading this chapter too soon. They get to the point where they experience personal experience, tongues of fire landed upon the people there, but they don't realize that the chapter isn't finished. And to me, what's really exciting in my heart is what happens next, because the chapter of Acts 2 is actually a chapter of cause and effect. Cause and effect. There was a cause, which was when the fire fell, and that caused a lot of things to happen. But also it had an effect for those outside of the building. All right? So we're looking today at gazing out the window. I want to put to you today, members of the jury, what if they'd never stopped looking out the window? The world would never have been touched. And we have to break the back of selfish Christianity and say, yep, the fire of God falling on my life is for me, but also it's for others too. Because when you begin to read on, and a lot of good Pentecostals, I'm a good Pentecostal, we finish talking there and they spoke with other tongues and we go, amen. It hadn't finished the story. The next moment, the story takes us, verses 5, takes us from the upper room to the ground level. And all of a sudden, it doesn't warn us. One moment they're in an upper room rolling around, fire burning all over their heads. The next moment, we're on a street in Jerusalem. So what had happened was there was a movement from the upper room experience to ground level. And that was always God's purpose. He wanted to bless those in the upper room, but what he did in the upper room was never meant to stay in the upper room. We got churches in the West today that never take what God's doing in the building outside the building. We want to break the back of that, amen, in Jesus' name. Because it's a story or an account of cause and effect. All of a sudden, we start reading 3,000 people have been saved. Chapter 3, there's a cripple sitting in the doorway on ground level. We couldn't get to the upper room. But God brought what was happening there to the doorway for him. Suddenly it begins to unpack and it says, "Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound of a multitude came together and they were bewildered because they were hearing people speak in their own language." What were they hearing them speak about? The saving of Christ, the cross of Christ, the boast of the cross, the coming of the Holy Spirit. But what I want you to see now was this is happening now outside, not inside. And I think in writing the book of Acts, they could have helped us to understand the shift that had taken place. These people are no longer locked in an upper room having a personal appointment with God. They're now on the streets, 3,000 are being saved, cripples are being healed. It's amazing, everything's breaking out. What God did moves from the upper room to a ground level impact. Now, this is what we need to see. God always has a bigger purpose for what happened in that moment. And this comes in synergy with Acts 1 verse 8. What did Jesus say? He revealed the intention of the coming of the Holy Spirit. He said, but you will receive power. That word means ability. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to all the ends of the earth. What was he speaking about, Jesus? He was prophesying and speaking about the moment in Acts 2. When the Holy Spirit would come and not just land corporately on the church, but individually on the church. And he said, and when he comes, you shall receive power, dynamite, ability of heaven. God's ability to do what? Roll on the floor. I'm not against a good roll on the floor. I love a good Holy Ghost tingle myself. Very partial to one. But we need to see there was a bigger purpose. The empowerment of the church to change the world. The empowerment of God's people to have a boldness beyond their own boldness, to leave the upper room, step into everyday life, and bring what God was doing in a private room onto public display, to general public, ground level. Now, the Holy Spirit came down so that the church could rise up. The Holy Spirit came down so that the church could, number one, rise up, and number two, go out. Because people were scared, people were intimidated, people were in their own ability. He said, listen, the purpose of Pentecost is empowerment. Not just for you to have presence, not for you just to have personal experience, but for you to receive power to go out of the room, stop gazing out of the window, step down the staircase, and begin to make a difference in the world for Jesus Christ. Now, Pentecost was not just a powerful experience, it was a purposeful empowerment. Amen. Now, why did all this happen? All of a sudden, we're reading Acts 2, and it's getting crazy out there. 3,000 people getting saved. That wasn't a few men with a microphone. That was every believer sharing Christ with others under the empowerment of the Spirit. Suddenly, every believer's laying hands on the sick. We hear about the guys at Gate Beautiful, but everyone was doing it. Stories were breaking out everywhere of what was happening, not in the upper room, but because of what had happened in the upper room. Now, I really believe that we're in a key moment for the church today. I'm sure you sense that too. This isn't just another moment. Now, there's two words that are used for time. One is chronos, which is logical, sequential time, calendars, dates, weeks, months. But then you have this other word, which is called kairos. And kairos means a divine, God-opportune moment. I believe that we, the church of Jesus Christ, that same church born in fire, are in a kairos moment. And God's heart is that we receive fresh empowerment, but don't just make it about what happens in our meetings and our gatherings, though that's great. But come down the stairs from the upper room. Come down the stairs into the marketplace, the highway, the college, the university, carrying what we received from God in the upper room to make the difference in the lives of others, especially our friends and family. So he's calling us, I believe, to, like your series says, gaze out of the window at the lost, but don't just gaze, because that's no benefit to them. Gaze, get a heart, come down the stairs and reach them for Jesus Christ. Do we understand every time a person's born again, a baby cries in heaven? Every time a person is led to Christ, there's the sound of a newborn baby in heaven. What greater privilege could me and you have than to be leading people to the Lord? So when we look at the church then and the church today, we have to reach this conclusion: nothing's changed. He's the same God. We're a part of the same church. Now, you may be 30-something years old. Yeah, you are, but you're also 2,030-something years old. Because we're a part of the same church that Jesus Christ opened 2,000 years ago. We have the same God. We have the same Holy Spirit, not a watered-down version. Well, why don't we experience today like what they experienced? Because we're locked in the building. If you want to experience what they experience, come down the stairs and begin to reach others. You want to experience the power of the Holy Ghost? Come down the stairs. Come out into general public. Begin to open your mouth. Begin to tell someone about Jesus, and you'll experience empowerment the same as what they did. So we've got the same God, the same church, the same Holy Spirit, but we also have the same commission. Listen, the great commission, I call it the great go mission, is still our commission today. Jesus gave the power and the ability of his Spirit to his church, his family, so that we would respond to the great go mission and go. What is it about go we don't understand? Is it the G or the O that's confusing us? It's not a big word, is it? But yet we look at a church in the West that's a stay church. People want to just come and stay, sit and watch, be entertained. Give us another flavor muffin, Pastor, we're bored. If you don't give us a better muffin, we'll go to a church that we heard does great muffins too. It's ridiculous. There's no commitment, there's no faithfulness in that mentality. But equally, we've got to say, God, we're going to come back to being a go-in people. Now, it's time to reach people who are outside the windows of our meeting and our experience. Now, if you're saved today, if God saved you, you're a new creation, you're born again, give me a wave. That's amazing. If you're not waving, we're going to get you in a minute, so don't worry. You got an invite. You can come and join the party in a minute, all right? That's a demonstration of us receiving things. Now we've got to look out the window and say, how can I bring what I received to another who's broken, to another who needs to experience Christ too? Now, for us to see, I really believe we're in this Kairos moment. That's not a normal moment. I was sharing with Pastor earlier, we've got this thing there in England they're calling the silent revival because no one's responsible for it. It started happening after COVID. All of a sudden, many people, especially Gen X, are coming to church looking for spiritual answers and a real God. No one's really inviting them. Imagine what could happen if we started inviting them as well. God's on the move. How can I put it in the words of C.S. Lewis? Aslan is on the move. This is a Kairos moment. And it's time for us to say yes to this great go mission. And say, God, we thank you for Pentecostal moments. But now we're daring to come down the stairs. With all of our fears, with all of our passivity, with all of our apathy, with all of our procrastination, with all of our excuses. We're coming down the stairs, Jesus. And we're coming public with this thing. And the first people on our agenda are the ones we say we love the most. Now, for us to see a move of God, like God wants to see a move, we need to shift in our understanding of Western evangelistic methodology. That we need to come back to a primitive model. You know, so often in church life, people say, here's a new thing. We don't need a new thing. We need a rediscovery of an old thing. You know, some of these idiots today that are talking about church deconstruction, idiots. We don't need to deconstruct anything. We need to rediscover our true identity. We need to rediscover that we are a Pentecostal people filled with the Holy Ghost, washed by the blood of the Lamb, and called to take Christ to others. We need to shift from a stage-centric model of evangelism to a life-empowered model. Now, don't get me wrong, I run churches, I oversee churches, I speak in conferences. But I am not persuaded that we will reach the world by the stage. I believe we will reach the world by every believer empowered and sent to reach others in the name of Jesus. Now, we've gone through the season the last few decades where it's been we put a demand on the stage to win the world. If it worked, the world would be won. It's good. I'm not saying replace it. I'm saying, can we let another net out the other side of the boat? But as well as having events and stages where we preach that gospel, we give opportunity for people who have come to receive Christ. At the same moment, we mobilize the church and we send the church into the world to go and get everyone they know born again. It's like letting down another net. I've spoken with national evangelists who are stage evangelists, And I've said to him, I'm not trying to replace you. I'm just trying to let down another net. You keep preaching. You know, to me, I was, in the early days, that typical evangelist. When you watched me preach, I was like the greatest showman. Anyone ever seen that film? When I hit that stage, it was one night only. If it doesn't happen now, it will never happen. Boom. Whoa. Ladies and gentlemen, the moment you're waiting for. You know, that was me. But I suddenly realized the stage is brilliant, the event is brilliant, the arena is brilliant, but it's not enough. Because there's people outside of our meetings and our events that will never come to our meetings. We need to mobilize the people of God, that's you, equip you, get you passionate, get you filled with the Holy Ghost, get you lit up with God, and send you into the world that you represent. So I believe this is a time for what we term lifestyle evangelism, not at the replacement of other methods or models. Now, this means every believer taking responsibility for the commission that God gave the church. Every believer. Now, this means we've got to change our thinking before we even take off. Because when you speak to many people today, you say, whose responsibility is the Great Commission? Many of them will say, that's the pastor's responsibility. That's the leader's responsibility. That's church leadership. We're here to sit and watch. They're there to do all this stuff. I disagree that when you read Ephesians 4:11, again, people stop reading too quick. It says, and he gave to the church as gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Amen. See, I told you it was their job. No, he hadn't finished speaking. For the equipping of the saints for work of ministry. And this is the part that I believe the church is rediscovering now. But it's not the greatest showman, the ascension gift man on the stage alone. But the gift of the evangelist isn't to preach to everyone, it's to preach to everyone and train everyone in the church how to win others to Christ. So when I say, you want me to come as an evangelist, that's brilliant, I'll do Sunday, but let me stay Monday and Tuesday and teach the church how to win souls. Because if we keep doing what we've done, we'll keep seeing what we've seen. But if we change and come back to this model where every believer has a responsibility, imagine what could happen. This is organic and it's natural. Now, forgive the crudeness of his example, but it makes a great point. Shepherds don't make sheep. Sheep make sheep. Shepherds lead sheep. We've got to come back to sheep making sheep. Imagine what could happen. You'll see organic growth when we come back to the simplicity of the power of one reaching another one. So what does this mean? Where do we get started with this? How do you get started with the Great Commission when it says, that bold statement that's terrifying, especially if you're newly saved. You, Christian, believer, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Maybe you've been saved like 4 weeks. You're like, where do you want me to get started? Asia Minor, Africa? I mean, your pastor's pretty much been to the whole world. He's got a couple more to tick off, but he's pretty much. But what about you? What does Jesus mean when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel? Does that mean you've got to go to Asia Minor, Africa, Europe? No, I actually believe that it starts with what we call owning your Jerusalem, which is the local world you're already in. And the series that Pastor's going to bring the next few weeks is going to unpack these thoughts. Your household, your family, your workmates, your colleagues, the people in your gym, they're your responsibility. Now, I don't want to be a travel agent for guilt trips. But every believer needs this guilt trip. I love my mum and dad. Are they saved? No. Have you told them about Jesus? No. Then either you don't believe in heaven or hell, or you don't love them. Which one is it? This is real. We need to blow the fairy dust off of some of this stuff and realize there's still a big white throne. There's still a lake of fire, and there's still a way for a person never to know those things if he hears about Christ. Come on, this is our job, amen? So it's about owning our Jerusalem. Now, I'm not talking about the old city far, far away. I'm talking about the world outside your current window. Now, that's what I believe Jesus was talking about when we read in that verse we quoted. But you will receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. And you will be witnesses. You will bear witness to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So he means that I've got to go to Jerusalem, right? No, he was speaking to people and their local world was Jerusalem. So for you, he says to you, go ye into Ocala, the surrounding neighborhood you live in, the schools your children are in, the school gates you meet your kids at, the gymnasium you call your gym. That's your Jerusalem. And the church, which this church is a great church, wants to empower you and equip you, give you a fire and a confidence to go and reach your Jerusalem for Christ. You know, one of the ways that we teach this, I do something called a Soul Winner Masterclass, and we do all of the teaching of the book in one day. And then we commission people and send them out. And what we do is we give them a piece of blank paper with a circle on it. And we say, let me identify your sphere of influence or your Jerusalem for you. Get a pen, write the names of everyone you know in your world that isn't going to heaven in that circle. Now put that circle somewhere you see it a lot, the fridge, the mirror, wherever you go the most. And start to pray for those people. You're already doing more than what you did last week. Ask God for opportunities and make those people in that circle your Jerusalem, your mission field. Take personal responsibility for them. So we need to own and identify our Jerusalem. It's not far, far away in a land called Israel. It's right here. It's right now. Number two, he calls you to be a witness to it. Don't be put off by the word preach. Let's make it easy and change it to communicate. It's no less powerful. Yet people think it more doable. Because everybody's a communicator. Let me talk about American football. You'll start communicating. Let me talk about, you know, Britain, America's Got Talent or a talent. You're able. Listen, when I became a granddaddy in February, I can't stop communicating. I can't. Everyone sees the photo. Everybody sees, to me, the best looking child ever born. Everybody sees the next president of the United States because he's an American. I don't have to force myself. Why? Because my love for him makes him the topic of my communication. So if you're not talking about Jesus, do you love him? Or do you need to fall back in love? There's another little guilt trip for you. We're all free. Please don't pay me anything. They're great. Now, it's about telling our story. To me, one of my favorite verses is Psalm 107, verse 2. And we sung this growing up in our Pentecostal church. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And as a cheeky little kid, I used to scream from the back row, so. Didn't understand the verse. But then I read it in another translation and it made sense. It says, let those who have been redeemed tell their story. See, God's wanting you to be a witness. He's wanting you to go into your world, start with Jerusalem. If he sends you further afield to like Tampa or Georgia, well, that's a miracle, but it starts with your Jerusalem. You're here. If he sends you to the ends of the earth, Russia, Saigon, that's awesome, but it starts here. Today, it starts here. This afternoon, this morning, tomorrow morning, it starts here. With us going into our local world, not saying, yay, yay, I would say, a God that says, come today. Just start to tell your story. Start to say to people, can I tell you what Jesus did in my life? Can I tell you how my life changed when I met this person, Jesus? I'm not talking religion. I'm talking about a personal relationship with a God who put me back together again. You've got a story. Begin to share your story. We're not Jehovah's Witnesses. We smile. They look so miserable. Well, wouldn't you if you were in a salvation lottery? We know we're saved. We know we've been changed. We know we're now new creations, dancing on the grave of who we used to be. Stop keeping it a secret. Get out. Leave the upper room. Go into your world today. Well, I'm kind of scared. Well, that's where Holy Spirit kicks in. You see, Holy Spirit gives you the ability to be a witness, according to what Jesus taught, and you shall receive power, ability, to do what? To be a witness for me where? In your Jerusalem. Same promise to us today as them men. Oh, but I don't, I don't feel the power of the Holy Spirit. Nobody's asking you how you feel. Get over your feelings, for goodness sake. You've let them have too much authority in your life for far too long. If God promised it would happen, it will happen. Yeah, but here's my little deal with God. You givey givey, I goey goey, and then doey doey. Well done, you just removed faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. This is how God works that equation. By faith, step out and goey, goey. Oh boy, then you'll experience him givey, givey. And you'll be so amazed at what you doey, doey. Come on, Holy Ghost is there. Jesus promised it. But he can't do a thing till you open your mouth. He can't give you boldness until you go. He can't give you the words to speak till you open your mouth. I've had people say to me, no, I don't pray for the sick. I've never seen anyone prayed, healed. When's the last time you prayed for a sick person? Never. Hello, cuckoo, cuckoo. You got to do something by faith to release what God has promised. You can't stand in front of an electric iron going, you're not hot, if you haven't turned it on. Flick it on. Have a purpose. Say, you know what? I'm going to reach my mum, my dad, my uncles, my aunties. You know, when I crossed 60 recently, I said, God, I'm bringing 1 million with me personally. Because I will not appear before my king empty-handed. I've got an appointment in Zion, and so do you. And when I come into that place, I want to see people behind me that my life affected for him. All right, let's bring this in for a landing. We don't need another Pentecost. We need another church that will leave the room. The first Pentecost was fine because it was ongoing. It never stopped. We need to be a people that say, God, forgive me for where I've become desensitized. Forgive me for where I've become desensitized to the gospel, the need of humanity. God, I'm going to put obedience above passivity. God, would you place in my heart again a care for the lost? That's what I want to pray over you today. Because if we don't care, it will be a moment. I want us to receive something from God this morning. The cry of the old prophet. You're looking for someone, God? Here I am. Send me. That's all God needs to hear from you today. Here I am, God. You want to reach my friends and family, my neighborhood, my community? You know my ability. God's not worried about your ability. He wants your availability. Here I am, Lord. Send me. I'm going to pray for you in a moment, church, if that's okay. But firstly, I want to speak to anyone that's here, anyone that's watching online. Sorry, online family. I didn't take time to say hi. Morning. How you doing? Anyone that's watching online. Or here, if you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, why not today? You can get baptised before you leave this site. You can receive Jesus, you can come back to Christ, you can get baptised even before you drive off of this property. Would you pray this prayer with me? I love it because when we pray it together, we release something in the atmosphere. Everyone pray with me this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross for me. I receive the gift of salvation. That new birth experience. I move from separation to becoming a part of your family. Amen. Every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never prayed that prayer, maybe you're here because you've been away from God. Something attracted you. There was a magnetism. Something drew you this morning. You're in the right place at the right moment. I'm going to ask you to do one more thing for me when I count to three. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus, or you're coming back to Jesus today, no one's judging you. No one's saying, sinner, sinner. We're saying, welcome home. I want to give you the opportunity to say, I prayed that for me by lifting your hand. No one's looking around. This is you, me, this is you and God. As I count to three, I want you to boldly lift your hand if you prayed that prayer. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. God bless you. I see that hand. Is there anyone else? God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. Is there a fourth person? You say me too. Come on, you got nothing to lose. You got everything to gain. What if everything in this moment is about you and God and you're next? Come on, is there a fourth person today? You say me too, Andy. I'm in. I do not want to miss this moment. I'm in. If you're watching online, well done for popping up your hand. Let me pray. Father, let heaven drop on these people. Let heaven drop on these people today. Let a new journey begin. Listen, church, I want to call you to action today. If you're here today and you say, yeah, okay, even though I'm scared, even though I don't know how it's going to happen, I'll be someone that carries God outside this building. I say to God today, here I am, send me. If that's you, would you stand to your feet ever so quickly? Would you say, yeah, even though I'm scared, just stand to your feet. Come on, say, I'm going to own this. Come on, if you won't stand to your feet, you're not going to do much on Monday morning. Come on, let's say, here we are, God. For all that you did for us, you can use my life. I'll be that donkey that carries you where you want to go. God, here I am. Send me beyond the windows. Send me beyond. Here I am. Right now I'm going to pray over you. Here you go. Father, I thank you for the fire of Pentecost, the fire of the Holy Spirit coming upon these men, these women, young and old, who are standing saying, here I am, send me. I will go. Lord, I thank you that just as you promised, Jesus, they will receive power to be witnesses in their Jerusalem. Lord, they receive power, Holy Ghost, ability today to be witnesses for God in the world that they call home. That bespoke, unique world that you've given each and every one of them. Father, I thank you today. They stand saying, we take ownership for it. We're going to be inviters. We're going to be bringers. We're going to be soul winners. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, look at me a moment. I don't like doing adverts and all that, but this book is absolutely brilliant. I know the guy that wrote it. When I give this to pastors, I apologize. I'm like, it's so simple, but I didn't write it for you. I wrote it for believers sitting in chairs going, how do I do this? So this is a very simple book. We've only got a few, so they're in the lobby. Don't be lastminute.com. Get yourself a copy. This will equip you and teach you everything you need to know to lead your friends and family to Jesus Christ. Come on, let's give Jesus a cheer as we hand back the pastor.
Wow, what a great thought, great word. Yeah, you go take your seats real quick. Man, we've got a wonderful summer ahead of us because we're going to go on a journey. And that journey is, I like what he said, the great go mission. The great go mission begins just looking out the windows. The Lord gave me this thought a few weeks ago, the same day that he got in touch with me and said, I'm coming to visit my son for his birthday. Could I come and do something that Sunday? I said, let's do it. My friends, we can't just stay in the room. I love that. We got to go downstairs. We got to just walk outside and watch to see what people will ask you. Second service, we may have the server from our restaurant last night coming because we had a conversation with the server last night, and Pastor Andy lives what he preaches. And he starts saying, hey, I just sensed something about you. Are you going through something? She goes, yeah. I'm going through this. It's just what he said. She goes, that's exactly what I've been feeling. He said, you need to come to church. He said, this guy has a church here. She said, oh, what's the church? I said, Now Church. I said, you know where the drive-in movie theater is? She said, yeah. I said, we're just past that on the left-hand side. Oh, I think I know that church, she said. She said, I'll come tomorrow. You don't know because you don't ask. And you don't ask because you don't just begin conversations with people just to let God show up, right?
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you,